Now, moving on to item 18, government vaccination program and the vaccination subsidy schemes, paper number 128. Written reply from the Department of Health has already been tabled to members. Let's welcome Dr. Scarlett Chen from the Department of Health. Paper submitted by Mr. Wong Cheng, Wong Shuming, Chong Wing Chan, and Wong Kim San. Any supplement, Mr. Wong? Thank you, Chair. Now, this paper is submitted by myself, Ms. Wong, Mr. Chong, and Mr. Wong Kim San. I can see that the Department of Health has already made a reply, but I would like to stress on two points. For the high-risk targets, how come the primary students are not included? This is my first question. Second question, about the publicity and the publicity means of publicity, I do not accept that. I hope they can strengthen on these. All right, that's so much for the supplement. Let's hand over to Dr. Chen to reply. First of all, thank you for the questions. Now, I would like to point out two things. First, as said, the primary students are not included under the free vaccination program. Let me first address this point. Now, how do we decide who is to be included in the free influenza vaccination? We follow the recommendations of the Scientific Committee on Vaccination Preventable Diseases. We look at the prevention and control of, we look at the latest situation of influenza and the scientific evidence of researchers in this area and the situation of other countries in order to decide who are the high-risk groups. We also look at other factors like the financial affordability for certain families, for example, whether the family is on CSSA. Now, how come the primary students are not included in the program? According to the Scientific Committee recommendation, now you mentioned a case where a 4-year-old, 3-year-old, and an 8-year-old are involved. They are the high-risk group, but then for the 8-year-old, because having considered various factors, this particular child is not included in the high-risk category. But if the family would like to have this child get the vaccination, well, this is a rather safe vaccination, we advise them to bring the child to the family doctor to see whether the child suffers from any allergies before deciding and to get the vaccination. Now, turning to the point that for members of the public who regularly receive the vaccination, and for these people, whether there are certain side effects for them and whether their self-immunity will be lower. Let me address these concerns. Now, how come members of the public have to receive the vaccination every year? That's because the seasonal influenza will change every year. And we will enhance the protection of the vaccination every year. That's why 1 year after the vaccination ceases to be effective. That's why the elements or the ingredients in the vaccination will be different year from year. That's why members of the public have to receive the vaccination every year. As to whether there will be drastic drop in immunity, at present we do not have any evidence showing that receiving a vaccination for seasonal influenza, members of the public immunity will be lower. Thank you for members' view. In fact, we are now looking at different ways to encourage more members of the public to join the vaccination program. For children, we have received the amount of subsidy up to $130. And we have already mentioned the point about different kinds of publicity in the written reply, but we will also accept members' views. Every year we review our work, so we will certainly take your view on board. That's all for my reply. Thank you, Dr. Chen. For members to submit the paper or other members, any supplement, any follow-up? Mr. Wong. Thank you, Chair. Now, as to whether the primary students are eligible or are suitable to be included in the free vaccination program, the government has a lot of reserves, surplus. That's why I hope the department will consider to include them as well. Mr. Wong Kin San, Dr. Chen only told us the version, one version, under in science, and I cannot challenge this professional knowledge. But I remember last year, it seems that for lots of vaccinations, we've ordered these vaccines have been destroyed. That's the same. Well, that's what happened last year. I don't think you ordered less this year. So will you perhaps relax the rules a bit so that more people can be included in the free vaccination program? We hope the plan will be relaxed so that all the primary students can be included in the program. This is just a minimum requirement. Do you know how much vaccine was destroyed last year? And whether the amount discarded was sufficient for the primary students? We're not talking about every single primary student getting the vaccine. Dr. Chen, please. Thank you for the question. Let me first address the issue with the issue about the discarded vaccine and whether we can expand the free vaccination program. Now, how can we set the age group as such? That's because we followed the evidence presented by the scientific committee and further recommendations. It was a scientific decision for the high-risk group. We look at the benefits to them before we come to the decision. In fact, for this year, whether we can be flexible, well, we are flexible this year. We do not fix when people should get the vaccination. For example, if private doctors have vaccine not before the expiry date, then they can give the vaccine to patients. For example, now for families on CSSA, for these families, we do not set down a date before which they have to get the vaccination. And that's not the practice at present. Mr. Wong Chong, one more minute for you. We're just making a suggestion here. Now, for example, the parents do not think the child is suitable for the vaccination, then it's fine for the child not to be under the program. It's very simple, and it does not involve a lot of government resources. Thank you. Any further views from members? If not, doctor, any supplement? If there's no follow-up, then let's conclude this item. Thank you.